a mother, a physician, a volunteer, a state legislator, and on April 13th, 2010, a recipient of the Vision to Action Award by the Center for Practical Bioethics. Her name is Dr. Barbara Boyer, and she joins us on the Bioethics Channel. The Bioethics Channel is a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. Dr. Boyer, a physician colleague of yours, invited you to his center event some years ago. What was it about that event that sparked your interest in the center?
Laurel, that was a really fun opportunity for me. I want to digress a little bit. My physician friend I actually grew up with, participated in orchestra with in high school, went to college with, we were sorority sisters, and ultimately we ended up as partners practicing anesthesia together. So I have a long history, and I have a great deal of respect for her. And she invited me to, I think it was actually the second annual luncheon for the Center for Practical, what was called Midwest Bioethics at the time. And I was intrigued and came and saw in that event many involved, dedicated people who were interested in making our world a better place by using the bioethics platform, shall we say. And as a physician at the time, I thought, what better place for me to investigate and potentially spend time and money supporting, because I like that idea of a forum where people can get together and discuss issues where they're not being told what to think but are encouraged to dialogue together and come to some conclusions.
One thing that you were impressed by was the focus on end-of-life issues and caring conversations as a way of promoting people making their wishes known when they have a serious illness or at the end of life.
That's true. And really, my involvement in the beginning was in one sense limited in that I attended the annual dinner, it became the annual dinner every year, and supported the center financially. Always read the newsletters or bioethics forum things that were sent out to me and stayed interested. But when I retired from my medical practice, Myra Christopher, the CEO, came and asked me if I would spend more time volunteering. And one of the reasons I was interested, like you said, was because of the work that you all had done in end of life and the caring conversations package. But at that time, she gave me many, many options of things to do. And
that's Myra.
Of course, I chose what was probably the most difficult and challenging one, but that is me, working with a steering committee for Pediatric Palliative Care Coalition. And
Talk to us about that particular activity and what that meant to you.
Well, what a fabulous opportunity, not only for me, but the people who participated on the coalition and Kansas City. National Institute of Health came out with a report that felt that cities and regions of the countries needed to focus more on making pediatric palliative care, which is care for children who are having chronic or terminal illnesses, not necessarily end of life, but the process of being treated, that maybe we needed to evaluate and do a better job at that. And we were led, again, by Myra Christopher, and who felt like the center needed to focus on that. And is it William Bartholomew? Say his name.
Dr. Bartholomew, yes.
Dr. Bartholomew, before he had died, had asked Myra to not forget the children. And this was her answer to that pledge to him. And so a great deal of effort was made to bring various organizations, Children's Mercy Hospital, KU Medical Center, Shawnee Mission Medical Center, St. Luke's Hospital and their NICU and their, people involved with all kinds of disease processes like the Diabetes Foundation or the March of Dimes or whatever. We contacted everyone and wanted them to come together and work together to find ways to make Kansas City one of the leading places for pediatric palliative care. This process took 3 years. And by the end of our time together, we had come up, with four different primary areas to focus on. in Kansas City, one of which I decided to become the advocate, I would say, for that particular thrust. In our research in those 3 years, we found out that no one had yet formally had put together a document for younger people to state what their wishes would be if they could not speak for themselves. Essentially, caring conversations, but not in a. It wasn't done in a form that young people would be comfortable with. And we felt like that needed to happen.
So that became Caring Conversations for Young Adults.
Exactly. And I thought that was a great gift that I could give to not only Kansas City, but hopefully to the entire United States, if not more, to help this process. When you look historically at the three primary cases that have helped or have shaped some of our end-of-life issues, the Nancy Cruzan case, Terry Schiavo case.
Karen Quinlan.
And Karen Ann Quinlan. Mm-hmm. All of them involved young women, young, healthy women. And thinking about that, those people were not prepared. They hadn't had a conversation about what something like that might look like. And that is a flaw in our system. We need to have those conversations always, because you never know when something might happen and you won't be able to speak for yourself. You may not actually die. You may not end up in a permanent vegetative state, but you might just be in a place where you can't speak for yourself. And we think the ideal situation in a medical setting is for the people who are representing you, that they know you and that they can answer for you. So off we went with Caring Conversations for Young Adults. I actually engaged the services of my daughter, who was then 17, Anne Marie, and she helped rewrite it, the original Caring Conversations, basically pull it down into simpler language and shorter.
Right.
Young people like short. Maybe we all do. But anyway, something that would help spark them to go ahead and have this conversation with their family members.
You're a physician. Your husband, Renee, is a family practice physician. Another recipient of the Vision Action Award is a physician, Dr. Steve Solansky. Why should physicians be engaged with the Bioethics Center?
Fabulous opportunity to help shape not only policy, because the center works on policy, but to help shape people in their attitudes about best practices in medical care this is very hard to describe. It's not about the actual one-on-one with the patient, although it might be the process that they're going through and how they communicate with each other, but helping physicians understand what is going on in bioethics and in the care world, and giving them both a voice in that. There's always opportunity to share here at the center, and also education back about what is going on, because the center does numerous, as you know, community events, presentations, mailings. You have your own website that has links and, your ethics alert every Friday. All those are wonderful opportunities for physicians to stay on the leading edge of what's going on in bioethics, which is really what medical practice is.
So the education that you can take back and use on a day-to-day basis within your medical practice.
It's perfect. And what I love about what you do, Laurel, is it's short and sweet. People think, I don't have time. But you can, for instance, on your ethics alert, you can, and this is what I do. I mean, I go through and read quickly what might apply in my world or what I'm interested in, and then I can just click on those and read what I want. It's always available. If there's a night I'm up and maybe I can't sleep that night,
so it's midnight
reading. Yeah, I can go and read my bioethics straight from Laurel. But it's great. And, yeah, we're all busy people, but this matters. I mean, I would say, obviously, in our world right now, one of the number one issues is this whole controversy over the national government becoming involved in our health care plan and setup and how it functions. And you all have done a fabulous job of keeping people informed about that issue. You're not taking a side. You're not saying this is right, this is wrong, but you're providing information and providing a forum for people if they want to get together and dialogue. That is invaluable, not just to physicians, but to everyone in the community.
Now, you're a state legislator in the state of Kansas, a state representative. How does your experience with the center shape your approach as a state legislator?
That's really an interesting question because it is not, we don't have necessarily an ethics discussion on a daily basis, but I see how my involvement, my knowledge of bioethics, which is really ethics in life, shapes how I approach various issues. It is a background. It is a stabilizing, not force, but stabilizing base, really.
A foundation.
Yeah, to help me know what might be right and wrong about a decision I'm making on how I vote. There are always, when you are making law, you can read what it says, and then you always have to go beyond that, at least in my opinion, on what possibly the unintended consequences are. And I think that is one of the things that, like in my teaching of bioethics, we really help our students learn to think beyond the immediacy of something and look beyond into the possible unintended consequences of a decision. It also helps me, a key component of bioethics is knowing that culture, religion, background, socioeconomics, etc., all shape who we are as individuals. And when you're approaching what is best for an individual, you need to look at those factors. But when you try to put all that together into one big society, there are different interests, and there are reasons why there are different interests. And people aren't necessarily just right or just wrong about something. They come from a different place, and we as people need to be looking around us and knowing our fellow man, shall we say, to know how we come from different places and maybe need to think carefully about what laws we're creating so that it's working for all of us, since we all are different.
Dr. Barbara Boyer is a 2010 recipient of the Vision Action Award by the Center for Practical Bioethics. Congratulations, Barbara, and good luck in all that you do.
Thank you, Laurel. It is truly an honor to receive this award. The people before me that have received it are all outstanding. Not ever was I thinking that I would be a recipient. I have always come here just to do good work. I think a lot of good work gets done, and I love being part of this hub of activity. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Well,
thanks, Laurel.
It certainly is a hub of activity. You've been listening to the Bioethics Channel. I'm Laurel LeBou. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.